I saw that you, if you weren't playing in Detroit, would have been right now regarded as one of the top five quarterbacks in the history of the game. But you were there, stuck.
You have to do it in the game. Yeah. You have to do it on the field. You have to do it in life. And you can't trust yourself without real preparation.
Well, what do you mean?
It's on site.
It's on site. That is the, that is the definition of what hatred is.
Oh, my God. When we're out there fighting, you think we give a 2 cents about how you look? Mm-hmm. What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Jason and OC podcast. Of course, we are proudly sponsored by Lazy Boy, which is the original recliner brand. And they're always big on comfort. You should have saw my boy OC earlier. I was on a conference call. He was in the Lazy Boy, laid back, chilling, relaxing, just being a good friend.
Just being lazy.
Just being lazy.
You know what I mean?
You know,
being lazy.
Just being lazy. And you should check out what Lazy has to offer at www.la-z-boy.co.uk. Check it out. We love the Lazy Boys. We love being lazy. The NFL is not lazy. We have not been lazy. There are things happening everywhere, OC.
Mm.
And they're not reclining.
They're not reclining.
They are upright.
They're going straight forward.
Straight up forward, yeah. Standing up, ready to go.
Yeah.
That was a decent segue.
That was very good.
I got there and I thought, where am I going to go with this?
Hey, but you knew. Like your mind took you.
It
exactly
took me
where
there.
You needed to go. Yeah. You're thinking, man, on your feet, man. You're trusting yourself, J-Bell.
Best advice Trust OC yourself. Gave me years ago. I don't know if it was live TV, something. And he looked at me and he says, you need to trust yourself, J-Bell.
Yeah.
He said, that's what's happening with me. You get up there and you trust yourself. You're like, I don't know what's going to happen, but I trust myself. And I always say that to myself.
Yeah.
Like before, just as it goes, trust yourself. Let's go.
Prepare.
Yeah.
You prepare mentally before. And then right when you get to the moments, trust yourself.
You have to do it in the game.
Yeah.
You have to do it on the field. You have to do it in life. And you can't trust yourself without real preparation.
Without preparation.
Yeah, you have to be prepared or else then you're going to start guessing and all kind of bad things will happen. You see that happen on the field all the time, OC. Yeah.
Happened this past weekend.
Talk to me.
Saints and the Falcons.
Oh, you want to bring that up? Break that down to the people.
Saints and the Falcons?
Yes. Tell people what happened with the Saints and the Falcons.
So the Saints were up, I believe, 41-17. Tyrann Mathieu gets an interception, takes it back to the 1 yard line.
Right.
No time left on the clock, maybe like a couple of seconds left on the clock. The Saints lined up in quote unquote victory formation, took the snap, ran the ball in, scored.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Against the wishes of their head coach. And apparently, Jameis Winston,
the quarterback.
The quarterback. Yep. Called an audible, gathered the team around, and they did their own thing.
Yep, because
so they wanted to get the
Jamal Williams touchdown. Because he led the league in touchdowns the year before and hasn't had one this season.
Yeah.
So it was a big thing for them.
They wanted to get him a touchdown.
Yeah.
And everybody went up in arms.
They went crazy.
Whoa, he lined up in victory formation. You're not supposed to, you know, you're not supposed to score a touchdown out of that. You're not supposed to run the ball. You're up 41-17. Why are you even trying to score at this particular point? And blah, 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 blah.
And it came to light because the Falcons head coach comes off the sideline and it was a little confrontation, right?
Exactly.
At the end of the game, which he was upset because he knew he was going to get fired after
the
game.
Yes.
Okay.
So there was a bit of that.
Yeah.
So there's quite a few things to unpack here.
I like this.
Right? Number one, in any other circumstance, any other game, any other scenario, I can understand you getting in victory formation and taking a knee.
Okay.
I can get it. I get that. I respect it. If the Atlanta Falcons are playing, say, the New York Giants, if Atlanta is playing Philly, if Atlanta is playing Washington, okay.
I think I know where you're going on this.
Okay. But if the Atlanta Falcons are playing the New Orleans Saints,
The hate is real.
If those two teams are playing against each other.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And I will stand on this.
Oh, my goodness.
All bets are off.
Period. Period.
Period.
They hate each other, man.
People do not understand that rivalry.
Unless you are from those cities.
You have to be from those cities. Or you have to have played there.
People do not talk about that.
They don't talk about it. They don't understand it. There is real anger, animosity, hatred, not only between the two teams. This is a city-wide and a fan-wide beef.
Can I back you up on this?
Yes.
I think when the Super Bowl was in Atlanta, and then remember the play happened with the Saints or something? Didn't there something happen? Yeah. But they put up, they bought billboards in the city.
Yeah.
Yeah, just putting stuff on. Yeah.
It's real.
Yeah.
I think even, like, if you lived in Atlanta, like, the rappers, they talk about.
Oh, they talk about the beef between the teams.
No, not between the teams.
Okay.
Between.
The fan bases.
Not between the fan base. Between the cities.
Oh, geez. Oh, this is bigger. This is bigger than I. This is big.
T.I. in some of his rap songs was talking about how after Hurricane Katrina, a lot of these displaced peoples came into Atlanta.
Yes.
And along with the great people came the bad.
Okay.
Yeah. And the murder rate skyrocketed.
Yeah, that happened in Houston too.
So this is not just.
Right, right.
This isn't just two teams playing each other.
That's why they have so many fans that are Saints fans in Atlanta. All right. Because it's weird like that.
You're like, what was. So as a player, I didn't understand when I was playing for the Giants. I didn't understand.
Yep.
I got to Atlanta.
He said, welcome.
I was like, oh my God. What is this? Why are they so angry?
Yeah.
Why are the people so, Because I didn't know about it.
Right.
And I couldn't understand it, right? And so that being said, when these two teams play each other, this isn't a, you know, there's no gentleman's agreement between these two teams. There's no friendly, there's no nothing.
No.
All there is
no.
is hatred,
yeah.
anger,
yeah.
animosity.
Yes.
Even if you did line up in victory formation, you're supposed to fool them into thinking, I'm taking a knee. That's what you do in this particular, in
right.
this game.
Right.
In this game.
Yes.
Any other game, okay, I get it. But here, no. No. This is, I participated in this.
Yeah, you understand this.
Bro, I picked up it's on the internet, right?
Yeah.
The game, we're ahead by 9 points, right? Like 5 seconds left in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Croy gets a strip sack. I pick up the ball.
I remember this play.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm running and I'm jogging at first because I'm thinking to myself, okay, let me just run the clock out.
Uh-huh.
And then I remembered.
You remembered.
I remembered it. I remembered it. And you can see, it click. And it's like, oh no. And I took off and I scored a touchdown. And you see the Falcons sideline. You see the coaches. They went nuts. They were so happy.
Oh.
They were excited. Because that is what this rivalry is.
Yeah.
That's what it's about.
Yes.
You have to do that.
Yes.
And then in this so-called victory formation.
Yep.
That people are getting upset about.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
That the Saints were in a victory formation. No, they were supposed to take a knee.
Which means you take a knee, yeah.
If you look at the Atlanta Falcons, defensive line.
Okay.
Number 95, uh-huh. number 72, number 90. I know. I remember their numbers.
Uh-huh.
They fired off the ball.
Come on, they weren't quitting. They weren't quitting.
So if the defensive line for the Falcons saw this team in victory formation and fired off the ball, what were they thinking, J-Bell?
They ready to play.
Ready to play.
They're not quitting because of what you just said. And as fans, let's just think as fans.
Yeah.
We talk about these rivalries. We discuss all week why the game matters. You know, not only is it the players on the field and what they're playing for, but it's the history.
Yep.
Whatever that might be. It's different for every team, different for every situation. Well, here it is.
Yep.
You gonna complain about that? What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? Ask yourself that. And you know what? If you're cool with it, fine, have a problem with it.
Yeah.
But I want to know that when a rookie comes on a team out of college and knows nothing about anything about in the NFL, he looks at the veteran like OC, and we're going to play an opponent, and OC goes, hey, young buck, this is real. We don't like them. We don't know. Yes, these other teams, we play tough, but we really, this is our rival. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go.
Yeah.
You see it in youth and high school. You see it in college. In the pros, it's not talked about as much. It is, but I mean, in this situation, more people should know about it. Mm. It needs to be there. And it needs to be till the last play, OC.
Oh,
I'm
goodness.
With that. You just talked me into that.
So, right? Think about, and we don't really hate people.
No.
Right? But think about somebody who you supposedly hate.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the agreement? What is the gentlemanly? What are you talking about?
We call it on site.
On site.
On site. As soon as I see you, we know. So if we see each other, it's either on or we both decide not today and we walk away. We both can't be there. We both can't be here. You leave, I leave, we both leave.
That's how it is.
And it's understandable.
We both know.
It's not cool.
This is what it is.
And I respect that.
So why is it now, gentlemen, what do you mean?
It's on site.
It's on site. That is the definition of what hatred is.
Oh, my God.
What are you talking about?
It's so funny, man. And then it's like something happens and it's as we talk this through, you're like,
what?
Come on, bro. You're the head coach. How many times do you think the head coach, the former head coach of the Falcons, I don't like saying names at times, didn't sit in that room in front of those people and say, hey, this is a to the end. This is our rival. And then comes out, why did you? Man, get out of here.
Crazy.
Out of here.
But you know, another thing though, Jay, another thing, Jason, is there's almost like a shift in the way. And I think we have to fight for our sports, man. Because remember those rivalries in sports teams?
Yeah.
Remember Boston versus LA? Remember Yankees, Red Sox, you know, Philly versus Baltimore versus Pittsburgh. The real where is that? It's like it's going away and it's taking it's sapping the fun away from people.
So it's gone away because think about back in the day, especially, you know, when I grew up, you weren't in this country yet. And I first watched the game, you know, players didn't move around.
Mm.
No free agency.
Yeah.
Right. It just, you were there.
Mm-hmm.
But to your point that as that's changed, right, the loyalty as far as players and where they are, they're playing for a team and it is what it is. But I like your point earlier about the fans, about the cities, because it's up to them. It really is up to the fans. It's up to us in the media. It's up to the people that have that loyalty that never changes. One thing I love about being in this country in the UK is their fandom for their football team, for their soccer team.
Forever.
Unbelievable. I love it. I mean, they're born into it.
Yep.
It's great.
Yep.
It's amazing. I mean, I'm like, this is fresh, right? It's to death do us part.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the fans that make it that. No matter who you're putting on the rosters, it is the fans. Mm-hmm. It is unique. Same thing with in the NFL. So when that happens, you fans need to remind the coaches and the players, no. This is about.
This is what it is.
This is what it's about. We can't start arguing over and they shouldn't. No. Know your history.
Everybody, just like Jason said, if you're a player and you're listening, you owe it.
Yes.
To those fans.
What?
You owe it to them.
Tap in.
Owe it to them in a divisional rivalry game to humiliate your opponent. You owe it to them.
That's it.
Yeah.
That does so much for them.
Yeah.
First game I ever played in, Houston. I just got traded from Dallas. I just remember the sign like it was yesterday. You can lose every game. Just win this one.
Yeah.
We won. And those fans, inaugural season.
Never forget it. Yeah.
I've never seen anything like it. Yeah. Like, it was crazy. The next thing I saw that was like that intense was your first Super Bowl when I was there, you know, on IR. And I was like, oh my God, I felt that. Yeah. And it was just a regular season game. Anyways, crazy. Love a rivalry. You're seeing a lot played out. When you look at these playoff games too, OC, I mean, it's a lot has happened. We know where we are. And you look at some of these storylines, bro. I'm just gonna say some things, and I just want you to tell me what you think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you look at the Rams and the Lions, and you look at Matt Stafford against Detroit, Jared Goff against the Rams. Bro.
I read somewhere somebody was talking about the NFL script writers are going. They went crazy this year. The script writers.
This is wild.
I mean, how could this have played out any better?
Who doesn't want to see this? This is to your point. You should be a producer of many shows, OC, because you started off and you talked about the rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about the motivation. You talked about why this play happened. When you look at all of these, our boy Antonio Pierce is now fighting to be the head coach. He was intern fighting to be the permanent head coach of the Raiders. You know what he does? Mm-hmm. Motivates. Mm-hmm. He finds a story. Sells it.
Mm-hmm.
Good coaches sell a story. You always talk about how Coughlin always had y'all ready every single week. My goodness, when you look at these games on Wild Card Weekend, I'm just thinking, what are they selling?
Yeah.
Because we've seen all the tape. You can't change who you are on offense and defense. What are we selling? Where's the belief? How are we ready for this fight? What's going to bring that internal fortitude that makes me push a little harder?
And this is what Campbell is going to tell Jared Goff.
Ooh, tell me. Come on. Come on, bro.
They went over there. He traded you away for a bag of peanuts.
They wanted you out the building.
They wanted you out of there. They said you couldn't do it. They said you couldn't win. They said you was holding this team back.
Oh, they did.
And then guess what happened?
They did.
They backed it up. They won without you. They won the Super Bowl. They proved that this team could take the next step without you.
I love this podcast.
That's exactly what they did, Jared. How are you going to respond to that, buddy?
In front of the rest of the team.
How are you going to respond to that?
And how are you going to back your boy up?
What are you going to do? And here's what McVay is going to say to
Stafford. Yeah. Stafford.
You were there in Detroit in the abyss for I don't even know how long.
I had to come save you.
I had to get you out of there. I saw that you, if you weren't playing in Detroit, would have been right now regarded as one of the top five quarterbacks in the history of the game. But you were there, stuck. And this is what we did. And guess what? They could have done so much for you. They could have surrounded you with more talent. They could have surrounded you with a better offensive line. They could have given you a better defense. They could have got you a good play caller to maximize your abilities.
Stop.
And they didn't do it. They didn't do it. They let you languish there in Detroit for all those years. And now we're back. And we're going to stomp this football team. We're going to show them exactly why you are one of the best quarterbacks in the history of the game. Boom. There you have it.
You see how I just felt that?
Yeah.
I put myself in. So for those who don't know, like team meetings, right? Mm-hmm. However it is, usually stadium type seating, whatever. This is what the leader is doing.
Yeah.
He's selling a script. I felt that.
Yeah.
And even if it's not about you, like it ain't about me, but it is. That's my boy.
Got to ride for him.
I got to ride for him. This is a big moment.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. There's so many other ones. I want to drop this in.
Okay.
When you got the Packers versus the Cowboys, right? Okay. Mike McCarthy, former Packers head coach, right? They move him out the building. He's over now with Dallas. Of course, Dak Prescott. It's all about what can you do in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
America's team, you got to win in the playoffs. You got to bring us a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
It's on you, Dak. Dak gets more hate than anybody, rightly so, because he's playing for the team with all the attention, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what are you selling in there, right? Mike McCarthy's trying not to make it about him, he says. But of course he is.
Mm-hmm.
He's over there talking about them.
Yep.
Them. Dak. You. Us. We. This is our destiny. Mm-hmm. We can do all of this, and this is how, right?
Yep.
Period.
So Mike McCarthy to me is an interesting case.
Okay.
Because I believe he's a outstanding head coach.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. His record says
now,
he is.
The problem is, for some reason, a lot of people don't think that he's a great head coach.
You're right.
Right?
Yeah.
So I saw where somebody did a side-by-side comparison between John Harbaugh, the Baltimore Ravens' revered head coach, and Mike McCarthy. Mm. Record in Green Bay, right? And John Harbaugh in Baltimore.
Yep.
Same winning percentage, same success in the playoffs. I'm talking about like
exact.
Same Super Bowl titles.
Both got a Super Bowl. Well, exact. He's got two. But he's only got one. Harbaugh's one. I'm thinking of Belichick's Super Bowl.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
101.
I'm tripping. I gave him another Super Bowl.
So why is John Harbaugh talked about like this and McCarthy is talked about like this? And it's like, well, McCarthy just doesn't look the part.
I just was about to go there. When you put a mic in his face, how do you feel?
Yep.
We talk about this with a lot of things. You see a lot of things in organizations where people maybe aren't promoted.
Yep.
Maybe they're moved on. They move on from them because the way they look.
The way they look.
Instead of the substance.
Yep.
And when we're in the locker room, when we're out there fighting, you think we give a 2 cents about how you look?
Mm-hmm.
No. It's about what you're saying.
Yep.
How are you preparing us?
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
Yeah.
We want to win. We want to play better.
Yeah.
And we want to be motivated. Can you do that? And I believe this is going to come down to that. This is Mike McCarthy's finest hour right now.
Yeah.
He's got to do it. Him and Dak, they got to come together, get this team motivated. Micah Parsons on the other side, he got to eat. I mean, on the defensive side, that staff and those guys, the motivation is there. Dan Quinn, our boy Adden. I mean, I just feel that's going to handle itself, you know. But even though, like I said, we're talking about storylines, this one exists and it's strong. And for Green Bay, I think they have to caution is that they are the new kid on the block.
Yeah.
They're fancy. They're what everybody wants, right?
Mm.
We want the younger audience. We want the younger audience. Let's focus on them.
Let's focus on them.
Let's get the younger audience, right? That whole thing. But you're only going to be young so long.
Yep.
And you're going to grow up.
You're going to grow.
And you're going to have pressures of life. And hopefully you live a long time.
Mm.
This team, young guns flying around. Jordan Love, I mean, the future is bright.
Yeah.
But for him, he needs to continue the work, continue the grind, whatever they're doing, because this is uncharted territory.
Yeah.
This is when experience matters. How you prepare, you could talk to this better than anybody. So this is where the leadership, right, from Matt LaFleur, their head coach, has to be about really galvanizing these young dudes to like, hey, yo, this is what we got to do.
Yeah. And he Jordan Love has done something that neither Brett Favre nor Aaron Rodgers did, right? Like leading the team to the playoffs.
Baller.
As a first year as a starter.
Neither looking one of them good.
Looks good. He looks great. He's making everybody look good. But I have to say, even though I am wearing this Giants.
Yeah, I wore mine the other day.
Yeah, yep. I'm wearing this and it's big blue all day. I'm so rooting for the Cowboys.
You are.
Oh my
God. It's great for playoffs.
I'm not even concerned about that.
Okay.
On a personal.
Yeah, friends.
Personal level.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just adding there, Dan, Mike. I remember they brought me in to talk to the, like, the respect is there, man. And so I want this for those for the players and those coaches. I want
me
this
too.
For them. I don't
me
want
too.
This for the Cowboys.
Me too.
But I want it for that for those coaches.
I want it for the Cowboys.
Yeah.
I want it for Jerry.
You were there.
I want it for the story.
Yeah.
Right. I want them in the NFC Championship, one step away. Let's see what happens. But I want it. Let's see if it goes down. There's another thing I want. There's so many storylines. I'll hit some top line ones, but there's one thing I really want to see. And that's everybody lock into the Dolphins at the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
Two reasons. Weather.
Mm-hmm.
This is why we talk about
mm-hmm.
being able to play tough football. Your smell test always comes through because you talk about the football months, right? Mm-hmm. When it's cold, when you got to be tough, when you got to be aggressive, when you got to just punch somebody in the throat.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
It's go time.
Yeah.
Okay, so you look at this game. I'm so interested in seeing this paradigm shift where I want the Chiefs to turn it on because of the defense.
Okay.
I want this team to just be understand their identity, which is we got this defense. We can try to be physical in the running game when we have to. And then it needs to be like old school Russell Wilson with Seattle. Like when it gets in the fourth quarter, hey man, I know it's been hard on you all game, Pat Mahomes, but you're the most talented quarterback in football, in my opinion.
Mm.
Go make it happen. I know it's we're not going to lean on you the entire game.
Mm-hmm.
You can mess around and win a championship like that. You can mess around and win a championship like that.
Once the playoffs start, all bets are off.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
But I think ultimately both of these teams, I don't like neither one of them. And I'm not saying that personally.
Yeah.
I'm saying that from like a football standpoint. When I watch them, the Dolphins didn't pass my smell test.
No, they didn't.
Right?
They got too many injuries.
Way too many injuries now, right? Especially now.
Yeah.
Like they had started to turn it around a little bit. Ramsey came back, but then boom.
Yeah.
Fell off a cliff with all the other injuries. Yeah,
all
right?
The D-linemen.
So I don't, there are a lot of flash, very little substance there. And the substance that they did have has now eroded because of the injuries. And Kansas City, I haven't liked them for a long time now,
I know.
Not defensively. Defensively, they're playing well. They played well, but offensively,
yeah, you haven't. You haven't.
No. So these two teams, I'm like, eh. Whoever beats each other, they're gonna get to the next round. They immediately.
So you have no dog in this fight.
I have no dog.
Okay.
In that
fight. No. Do you have a dog in the Browns Texans fight?
That's a very interesting one.
Okay.
That game, I can't wait to watch.
Yeah.
There's so many games I can't wait to watch.
Yeah.
That game in particular, I can't wait to watch.
All right.
Because, you know, what the it would have been a lot better if Deshaun was playing. It would have been a lot better.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of like the storyline.
Yeah. Oh, it'd have been ridiculous.
But this is, we have Flacco, and that's another great storyline. Right.
But to your earlier point, these organizations got a lot to talk about.
They got a lot to talk about, right? And Houston, D'Amico Ryans, young Gunners. You're talking about a young football team.
Oh, boom. Yeah.
And then on the defensive side with Cleveland and Flacco playing there, this is going to be an interesting game.
Stars.
I'm going to, whichever game isn't at 1 o'clock here, I'm watching.
Okay.
Yeah. If the game's at 1:20 a.m. here, I'm going to watch it the next morning.
No, you're watching this one. This
but
is the first
all
one.
The other games,
you're
I'm watching
well,
all
you're
of them.
Lucky because that one is the Dolphins Chiefs, so you won't watch that.
Oh, perfect.
It worked out for you. It worked out for you. You see that? You see how that
My
worked
good
out?
God has remembered me.
I'll be working. I'm upset though. I Ooh, like when
the
you're ones, watching.
You're gonna watch you're gonna you have to work the Miami.
Yeah, I work
one?
Till 4 a.m.
Whew.
And then we come back in and then do the other two games. Oh, it's go time.
Fantastic.
It's go time. Yeah, you got foot on the gas. Hey, running on fumes. Yeah. I love it. Only in the playoffs, though. It's tough.
My good God has remembered me. Now, I gotta you know, take a break from football to say this really quick this particular. When I said my good God has remembered me, it triggered something in my head.
The light bulb went off?
Yeah.
All right.
Because my 5-year-old, I'm not sure what he's going, because he's so analytical. Uh-huh. And I know he got that from me.
Yes,
right?
He did.
And he's so logical
that
he's, you know, the religion is now coming into his life.
Yes,
Christianity.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But because he's so analytical, he's questioning things.
Mm-hmm.
And he's 5.
Yeah.
Right? And to me, it's so interesting and bizarre to see a 5-year-old who doesn't just believe anything you tell him.
No.
He just doesn't, right? So we're walking back from school, and he's like, Dad. I'm like, yes. He's like, does everybody have a father? And I'm like, everybody who's born had to have had a father. But sometimes, you know, fathers, aren't around.
Yep.
Yeah, but everybody who was born had to have had a father. He's like, oh, okay. And he's like, does Jesus have a father? And I can see the setup.
Mm-hmm.
I can see it coming.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, he saw it.
I saw it right now. Yeah. I'm like, yes. Then he's like, who's Jesus's father? And I said, God. He's like, you know this.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, yes. but who's God's father? I was like, oh.
He said, oh, he got me. He backed me in, and then he got me. He backed me. He backed me up. The setup was coming. You saw it, huh? You saw it.
I saw it. J-Bell.
Where does he get that from?
Jason, he's five.
Yeah, oh, I know where he gets that from.
He set me up with the first question. Does everybody have a father? He set
you
me
said,
up.
Yes.
It's like, does Jesus have a father? Like,
he said, yeah. Oh, my goodness.
You're like, does God have a father? I'm like, oh, man. I'm like, you know what?
He's like, let's
talk
walk
to your
fast.
Mother. Yeah, yeah. Talk to your mom. To talk to the you. Most bizarre thing, bro. I don't know which. I think when he gets a little older, he's going to be like, yeah, nah, man. Yeah.
You saw the setup, though. That's the funny part.
It's crazy. Crazy. Yeah.
That's anyway. That. You know what, though? That's I think we should end on that. That is great. That is amazing. That is
how?
Amazing. That is amazing. That was great. I will say this, though.
Do you think, but let me ask you this, though, Jason.
It. I love it.
Do you think, uh-huh. right? Mm-hmm. Do you think, because I'm questioning this moment, okay. Do you think he knew that he was setting me up, or you think the questions just led him there?
I think the questions led him there. Right. I think he's trying to connect a dot.
Yeah.
He's not trying to set you up because he's not thinking like that.
I don't know about this one, man.
I think he's so confused.
Yeah.
Maybe he's trying to see if you have the answer, yes.
Yeah.
He's like, I can't answer this. My mom didn't answer mm-hmm. it. Let me see if my dad can
answer.
Let me see if
he's going to answer this.
Yeah, and he might have asked it at school.
Yeah.
And trying to see, okay, which answer do I like the most?
But no, the thing is, right, he could have just asked me, mm-hmm. who's God's father?
Yeah.
No, he could have just asked me
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but he brought evidence.
He went to the beginning.
Evidence-based argument. I think that's hereditary, though. That's hereditary, though. He gets that.
It has to be, right?
You watch your kids do things, and you go, that isn't learned.
Yeah.
That is inherited.
That's just inherited.
That's DNA.
Yeah.
Like, the way they think, movements.
Yeah.
I watch my daughter do things with her hands and her legs, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, that's your mama.
Yeah.
I mean, just how do you sit like that?
Yeah.
Nobody just the way she moves and does things. I'm like, oh my, that is just DNA.
Yeah.
Right?
That's crazy.
Demeanor, certain things. You're like, that's her. That's me. Mm-hmm. Like you just, you know, mm-hmm. you know, obviously a little bit of it's learned, but what you're talking about, that the intellectual mechanics
mm-hmm.
and his process.
Yeah.
He's not trying to set up his pops.
Yeah.
He's just, this is how his brain works.
Yeah.
You always would say, like, this is just how my brain works, mm-hmm. right? This is just how my brain works. This is how my brother's brain works. Mm-hmm. This is how my sister's brain works. It's just how your brain works.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
It's cool.
It is amazing. And it actually ties back into this whole conversation, which is, think about being a leader. You're a leader. You're a leader of your household. You're a leader in all kinds of things. And you have to find a way to connect with people,
mm-hmm.
to answer questions, to motivate, to do all that. And all these different people see things, hear things, break things down in different ways.
Mm.
What does a head coach got to do? He got to talk to 53 people.
Yep.
And he has to know, I have to, in a 5-minute conversation, talk to all these different personalities.
Mm.
I have to get all of them on the same page. I got to motivate all these people for this day, for this week. That's why we talk about how to your point about the fan bases, about understanding the history, about all that stuff, bringing it all in. Man, this is a big moment for these teams and these coaches. I'd like to be in those meeting rooms and I would put my hand up and say, does God have a father?
Have a father?
Oh, we're out till next week. We'll have some things to talk about. There'll be some good games. I want to see this Texans team ball out. Of course, I am a CJ Stroud fan. I want to see him light it up. But Joe Flacco, that conversation is going to be great, too. I mean, what a week we had before. We know OC's not watching the Dolphins and the Chiefs till the day later. But, hey, that's what's going to happen.
I'll watch the highlights. He'll watch.
The good highlights too.
Yeah, 10-minute highlights.
Yeah, we'll be locked in though. Enjoy your week. Watch these playoffs. Uprise all day. We don't play. Holla at you.